No Syntax is brought to you by Caffeine Driven Media, where we get up, get coffee, and kick ass.
This is ridiculous.
Hello and welcome to No Syntax. I am Landon Isles, your host. Welcome to episode... Welcome to episode 20, given on this day for January 2020. Happy freaking New Year, everybody. I hope everybody's doing great. I hope you had a great holiday, getting ready to ramp up and start a full first of the year work week on Monday, which actually sucks, but it's bound to happen anyway. So I'm going to need another vacation after this vacation to recover. It's just natural. Getting back into the swing of things is just not, it's not fun. And I don't want to go. So Sunday, I've said this before, Sunday morning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, morning, because you're dreading Monday. That's just the way that it is. Anyway, I'm glad to be here to talk to you all about shit, read your emails, and discuss my skewed perspective on things. Why? Because you make this show great. And I'm really excited to do the show because another milestone, we are at episode 20, finally freaking getting here. We could have been at episode 20 a long time ago, but my lazy ass just didn't get there like I wanted to. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. New year, first show of the new year, episode 20 in 2020. I want to be sedated, or it's 24 hours to go, right? Shit. Okay. Never mind. Anyway. So really excited. I don't even know where to start. And once again, I am freeballing it. I am freestyling it today. Why? Because I can. And I really don't give a shit about doing anything else but this podcast today. I was running rampant to back up. Yesterday, I was running rampant just trying to figure out what exactly do I need to speak about on the show. Because last year, episode 19 in 2019 was relatively random, and I really enjoyed it. I really had a complete blast doing so. And don't get me wrong, it's not that I don't like sounding scripted. In some cases, I really do, because I get my thoughts down on paper and it just sounds a lot better to me. But I don't know how it sounds on your end. I mean, I don't know whether it just sounds good, bad, and different. Or do I sound like a bit of an automaton when I speak that way? But I feel I get my point across better, when I have things written down, when I have show notes, when I have details that I specifically don't want to miss. Because what I find that when I go to listen to a show, my previous episodes, please, I will go back and I will listen and go, shit, I could have said that differently. Or, you know what? I could have said this vice that, or I could have, oh, wow, I missed an important critical piece in that one part. And, I totally wind up, hating my shows, or hate is a strong word. I shouldn't say hate. I wind up disliking certain elements of previous episodes, because while I like to consider myself somewhat a perfectionist, I'm truly not. There's still a lot that I'm learning about broadcasting and podcasting and things of the like, and I'm slowly getting there. But I think it's important. I really feel it's important to at least have some factual information. And the best way for me to put out the factual information is to have it on paper and in front of me. I may not necessarily have all the facts, and that's fine. I mean, if somebody corrects me, I'm not above being corrected. And I'll even, you know, throw myself under the bus at times. If I'm completely wrong, I will be the first to admit it. No problem. So I rely on you to tell me so. So if you know something to be true and what I say is absolutely incorrect, then freaking tell me so. That's fine. I'm happy with that. I'm also uppity as hell because I'm on my third cup of Raging Tiger 3.0, which we'll talk about here later in the show. I did talk about on the last episode that I was probably going to do a episode 19 and a half before episode 20 and strictly talk about coffee. And I changed my mind, and I changed my mind for a very good reason, because I want to read something that was posted on Facebook by Fred Diedrich from Iron Bean Coffee Company. And hand on heart, I got to read this to you. So it caused me to just totally change what I wanted to talk about today and leave the coffee talk for when I have both Fred and Chanel on the show. I think that would be perfect. So rather than me doing a rundown of different type of coffees and everything, that it would be best to just leave it for the next episode and have both Fred and Chanel on. But this totally floored me. I'm at a loss for words on this. It was totally unexpected. Give me one second here, because I am trying to find the comment. Here we go. Back up. Oh, damn it. Seriously? I hate when you try and find something and it won't take you to it. So Fred posted this yesterday about 9 o'clock last night, and he says, "I listen to a lot of podcasts with all my commuting. No Syntax is one that I found by chance a couple of years ago. I'm listening to this smooth voice, coffee drinking dude talking about his life at random. Then boom, he's talking about Iron Bean Coffee Company. I've listened to him ever since the subject matter is quite random, which I enjoy. The host, Landon J. Isles, career military service member with one of those radio gold voices." You're too kind. I don't think I have a radio gold voice. I say I might have the face for radio, but I appreciate that. A couple of dogs and a pen pal named Leslie from Texas. His podcast comes around like once every 2 months, and I look for them all the time. We haven't heard from him since October, and kapow, he turned up on one of our Facebook live feeds. I said, make another podcast, and here it is. So I can't appreciate this enough. I am completely at a loss for words. Fred, Chanel, thank you for sharing the love. You two are, hand on heart, a couple of the greatest people in the world that I've never met face to face, but I feel like I know you more than I do, and I greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much. And as I said in my reply, in my response to you, definitely want to have you on the show. Let's make it as soon as possible. I will send you a direct message if I may, and we'll work out the details and go from there. If it's, and whatever your preference is, if we got to do it at night, if we got to do it early in the morning, we can make that happen. I absolutely, positively, 100% would love to have you on the show. And I think the listeners would be ecstatic to hear both you and Chanel talk about Iron Bean and talk about, you know, everything from the beginning and whatever else we want to talk shit about, right? Sound cool? Okay. So again, thank you so much. That is just, I'm beyond words right now. Yes, I'm excited. I am absolutely excited, and I'm really excited to get them on the show as soon as possible. That being said, speaking of, he mentioned Leslie, and I do have an email from our favorite librarian, and she replies in reference or deference to episode 19. This is what happens when I don't have show notes. This is absolutely what happened. Okay, whatever. So she says, "Happy New Year. Training/learning sessions are killers for me. I am very much a self-directed learner, except for math. I did well in school, but the older I got, the more difficult the classroom became. My mind wandered prodigiously." I can't pronounce that word. So she laughs. "Plus, I saw a lot of it as so much bullshit, little check boxes that had to be completed to graduate from high school and college. I had some 130 plus hours when I graduated from UT, and I can count on two hands, maybe one, the classes that really made an impact. I really don't know how I made it through graduate school. I was working full-time, living on a thin dime, and even more prone to mind wandering. Maybe we do it all backward. College might be a lot more enjoyable at this point in life. Working mostly with freshmen and sophomores, I see how very young 18 to 20 is. How can children know what they want to do for a living? She goes on to say, well, let's back up here for a second. I have this tendency to agree with her that I think when we get to a certain point in our life, we get comfortable. We get into that groove. And I know I personally waited to go to college while I was in the service. And I found for me, because I knew going right out of high school, I would fail out my first semester. And I believe I mentioned this before, that I would completely fail out my first semester and it would be pointless. And I didn't want to fail. I didn't want that for me. I knew deep down inside that a sense of self-awareness that I was not mature enough to handle college. And truth be told, at that point in time, with the exception of one teacher, Miss Chris Towers, my English teacher, she was the only one that ran her class, her English class, like a college course. She posted the homework on the board. She didn't tell you it was there. It was your responsibility. She had a syllabus. She ran it like a college class, and all the responsibility and all the ownership was on you. You had to own that shit. And I failed her class. There was other reasons why I failed the class, and I had to take her twice my senior year. I had her in the morning and in the afternoon. But I learned a lot more from her being in her class, having it twice in the same day, and having an understanding of what college life was like. However, I knew I still wasn't prepared. I wasn't mature enough to go, so I waited until later on in life to do so. And I found myself actually paying more attention, enjoying things a little bit more, and more dedicated to the homework, to the class, and actually listening and paying attention vice what I was doing in junior high or high school, which my mind was completely awry at that time. So yeah, I agree with you, Leslie. I agree that because we get in this groove, we've had life experiences, we've gone through the bullshit, we've gone through the drama, that we know, hey, time to buckle down and be serious and go in there and sit down and learn. And we're learning from people who either one are close to our age or older. We might be learning from somebody younger, which that would probably sound fun and segues nicely into what I'm about to talk about shortly. Ladies and gentlemen, I think I found somebody. I hate to be disrespectful. I don't want to say this in such a derogatory way, but I'm going to fucking say it anyway. I found somebody that I believe to be more out there. It's totally far, what we call OTF, out there flapping. Stupider, if stupider is actually a word, than AOC, in my opinion, based on the video I saw, which I will play on the show. And I even looked her up online. Anyway, we'll get there. So yeah, so that segues nicely into what I'm going to talk about today. A couple of things I want to talk about today, but unbelievable. And I agree. How can children know what they want to do for a living? I'll go one step further. Again, talking about retirement, I don't know what the hell I want to do for a living. I really, really don't. I still at this stage, being now less than 2 years out, not by a narrow margin, but I still got some time, not knowing what the fuck I want to do. Right. So I think it could go both ways. I don't know if age is really a relevant factor. I think it is, because we're still trying to discover ourselves from, you know, the 18 to 20 time frame. We're trying to feel things out and we don't quite understand life. I would feel like we think we do, but not really. I don't know. Anyway, she goes on to say my 26 day break has been wonderful. Got a few things done. Piddled a lot, read, Netflixed, took care of the neighbor's cat, met up with friends, went here and there, and kept Sophie company. I hope you did some of the same on your break. I don't think I'll have any problem keeping occupied once I leave paid work. I've sat on my share of job search committees and read a lot of resumes, good and bad. If you want civilian eyes, let me know. I'd be happy to help. Abso-frickin-lutely. So going back to my so fucking lost transition assistance program, SFL TAP for short, they've got workbooks, and in the workbooks, there are example, resumes in there, and they're both for federal and for civilian jobs. Now, again, our Department of Labor instructor, Ms. Kim, she basically said, don't say civilian, don't say civilian. You know, you want to say private sector, commercial sector, whatever. You don't want to refer to somebody as being civilian because they could feel, I think some people feel as though the word civilian, the term civilian, if you will, can be offensive to certain people. So you don't want to come off that way being a former military or military retiree. Even at the executive level, you don't want to say civilian. So anyway, but absolutely, I would love to get as many eyes on it as possible. I will send it to you once I put it together. I've been fucking off this holiday. So excuse me, I got to get hard and heavy on it next week, along with, let's see, I got to do a resume, and there was something else I had to do. I forgot. Anyway, not important. Let's go on. So yes, I appreciate your help, Leslie. So moving on, she goes on to say, whatever, you know what I'm getting at. My ex-husband was an immigrant from India. He had three sisters who all had arranged marriages, but they were adults who married total strangers. I do wonder, wait a minute, blah, blah, blah. Did I screw that up? Oh, no, I sure did. I did not pay attention. He had three sisters who all had arranged marriages, but they were adults who married total strangers. I do wonder if they will insist on arranged marriages for their daughters. That always blew my mind. Excuse me, coffee. Happy. Raging Tiger. Yes. You know, and I guess if I were in that culture, it wouldn't be neither here nor there for me. I don't know. Maybe. And because I don't have a basis for comparison, I'm not part of that culture, so I really don't know. But I would imagine in this modern day and age where I don't want to say the younger generation, or maybe I do want to say some of the younger generation. I don't want to generalize all the younger generation because some of the younger generation is just bat crap crazy. Some of the younger generation is very aware or very in tune with themselves in what their future goals and aspirations are and, you know, what they want out of life and who they would want in a partner, whether it's a same-sex marriage or the opposite. I believe that they feel that way. And that can be something, that's something that goes against the tradition, you know, especially families who are very traditional in that way, and they want an arranged marriage. We want to approve a match. And maybe in some cases that works, and in others it doesn't. But that would be a struggle within, I believe, with me, check her out and meet, and then say, okay, we've approved the match. And I really don't know this person. You know, it's, what's that TV episode coming out that's called Married at First Sight? How does that fucking work? Does it work? You know, and, or do you have to make it work? And could you possibly fall in love with that person? I'm not saying it's impossible. It's probable, I think, but I still would not feel comfortable being forced into that position. And I can't see anybody in this modern time being put in that position unless they really want to. And I guess certain situations will dictate. I mean, if you have a really shy son or daughter and they're not accustomed to going out there and, meeting people and getting to know others and their friend pool is very small, I guess that would be a prime use for an arranged marriage. But I don't know. I just don't see it. I think it's nuts. But then again, what do I know? Right? I'm just not involved in that culture. I don't know a lot about it. And I don't know how people feel. Don't know. I guess I'd have to read up on about it and see. I don't know of anybody that has been in an arranged marriage. I know a couple that I met some years ago, And he's a white guy dating an Indian girl, absolutely beautiful woman. And she had to break up with him because he was white. He wasn't Indian. He wasn't of the same culture. And they did not, the parents were very traditional. They did not want her marrying a white man. And it broke his heart. I mean, it absolutely crushed him because to me, they were beautiful together, but tradition trumped love in that respect. So I don't know. Anyway, she goes on to say, packages. My sibs and I exchange Amazon gift cards, and being born right after Christmas, I get double gifts from them. I've had several lovely packages arrive over the last week. Sophie didn't help open them, and she had little interest in the boxes. I might have a defective cat. Yeah, what cat does not like wrapping paper, tinsel, ribbons, and frickin' boxes? You got a strange one, Leslie. But I am crazy about her. I think Philip sent me a marvelous new cat. Yes, I absolutely believe angels come with four furry paws. Whether it's a dog or cat, doesn't matter. Walls. Mine are blank for the most part. When I moved into mother's small condo, I wanted to be as minimalist as possible. I realized I was tired of things and maintaining them. That said, I should have spent some more of this time off going through my closets. I still have too much stuff. Back to work tomorrow. Maybe I should take a look at all those emails I didn't bother to read since December 6th. Or maybe I should just continue my Netflix binge. Thanks for the entertainment. I do want to hear about Raging Tiger. Not real fond of amber-colored liquor, though. My father did enjoy a rather palatable bourbon called Blanton. All good things in 2020 to you, your librarian, Leslie. And once again, all errors courtesy of autocorrect. Okay, now, that's one part of her email. She did send a part two. And that part two basically says, by the way, I haven't listened to one debate or the impeachment hearings. Self-important blather and tirades. I don't watch the news either. The newspapers and NPR occasionally give me all the information I need and don't grind on my nerve. Yes, I only have one, and sometimes it is frayed to a single strand. Oh yes, freeballing. I do wish some of our male students would cease and desist on that front. Most disconcerting to have one come into my office and their junk is at my eye level. Your librarian, Leslie. I'm glad. Better you than me. I get it. I don't understand it. I remember I was going to an academy when I was a young NCO, and we would go out to, and it was during the summertime. We were out doing physical training every morning, and part of the physical training is each student gets up in front of the group and conducts physical training, giving all the commands, going through all the exercises, getting everybody stretched out to go on our daily run. I think we ran like 2 to 4 miles a day. And he was up there, and our shorts back then, we had the cotton grays. Our shorts came with a liner. Now, whoever the government contracted to make our shorts, the material of the shorts themselves were great. The liner absolutely sucked. Don't know how they came. It felt like you were wearing a diaper. So most of us would just cut it out. Now, the problem with cutting it out, it loosens the material because that liner is essentially holding your shorts together. So when you cut it out, they're a little bit looser, a little bit baggier. Yes, you wear underwear and that helps with that, but some people don't. And one of the guys that went up there went, and we were doing I forgot the name of the stretch, but basically you are bending your leg at the knee, bringing your foot up close to your crotch, and his shorts were not as long as they probably should have been and hiked up enough where his testicles and his schlong kind of like melted out of the short leg, and it looked like I can't even describe it because I didn't stare at it for very long, but it was enough to sit there and it looked like melting ice cream. It just like pooled there, and like laid on the ground, like flat, like it was so hot, your dick was melting. I don't know. But one of the girls in the front just sat there and said, you need to switch out with somebody else. I'm not looking at your ding-a-ling 1 second more. And you had to be there. It was kind of funny, but I just like, yeah, I get it. But again, better you than me. I don't understand it. I occasionally do it when I'm at home, when I go out. No, pack is secure. Can't deal with it. Can't have that thing jingling around. And plus, when you're getting older, you know, when you're at 50 and that shit starts stretching out like freaking boxing bag, you know, like those speed bags that the boxers use. Yeah, nah, don't want that. Anyway, moving on. Okay. Something that I've been itching to talk about. So, I found this on Facebook and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. So I'm going to pause the music here for a second. And I'm going to go to this Facebook post and, oh God, it is crazy. Give me 1 second here. Technical difficulties. Okay. So man eats steak in front of I got the giggles today. It's awesome. Before I talk about this, man eats steak in front of feminist vegan. And this is on Fox News. If you watch Fox News, you've probably seen this segment called Waters World, W-A-T-T-E-R-S, World. Waters World. And he interviews this doctor who is a professor at Portland State University. She's a professor in the sociology department. And her name is Anne DeLessio Parson, so hyphenated. And evidently she's a vegan feminist. Now, I will tell you, I have met some feminists. I have seen some feminists on some other shows, and they are some of the most seething man haters that anything that is man in general, they can't stand. They have a certain persona about them that just screams, I hate men. I hate their hairy asses. I hate their balls. I hate their phallic member. I completely dislike everything about the male persona. I am woman. Hear me roar. I don't shave my armpits, but that's the best way I could describe it, because the conversations I've seen some of these, and I can't name names, and I really don't want to name names on these individuals. And don't get me wrong. I've met a few that are feminist, but I can't even describe them. They're good people. Let's just say they're good people in comparison to some of these others that I've seen that just have this attitude, this itch about anything male or phallically referenced in general. And it drives me nuts. I'm like, what happened to you that put you in that position? What changed? And then I could sit there and go, well, let me think about that for a second, because I'm a male. You know, what have I done to turn women off? What have I done that could have been that catalyst that drove a woman to be the way that she is? Men in general probably do this, right? Somebody's to blame. Might as well be us, right? We get blamed for everything. But anyway, I saw this interview on Waters World and it was just stupid. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the video. Obviously, you're going to hear it in audio. And then I went and looked her up online. And the first web link that came up was Rate My Professors. And I want to read you some of the comments that the students put on there. Now, to be fair, her overall quality is based on only 16 ratings. And I'd have to actually look at some of the dates. I think the most helpful high rating was from December 5th, 2017. I didn't go through all of them, so I don't know what the actual dates are on each and every one of them. Hold on. Okay. So I'm going to go through this and I will include the link, or I'll share it on the, I'll share it on the No Syntax Facebook page. I'm sorry. I got the simple. You ever heard giggles referred to? I got a case of the simples. I learned this as a young kid, where just something stupid, something simple just makes you laugh. And somebody referred to it as Landon's got a case of the simples. I've got that today, but I'm going to post it on the No Syntax Facebook page. I'll put the link on the, nosyntax.net, page, so you can go to it and watch it for yourself, because there are little pop-up comments that come up during this interview, but you don't have to see the pop-ups to listen to how stupid this is. And I want to punctuate. I want to really pound with a puh how stupid this is. I want to accentuate it so much because I'm like, who made her a fucking professor? I don't get it. I'm sorry. Tell me if I'm wrong. Okay, enough. Listen to this and tell me if I'm wrong, because this totally had me laughing my ass off 6 ways from Sunday, because I was like, how? Why? What? Okay, stop. All right, let me go ahead and set this up, and I'm gonna close my voice out and let you listen for yourself.
Meat creates toxic masculinity, according to a university professor. Eating meat is bad for you, it's bad for the country, and it reinforces gender stereotypes, apparently. Yeah. But it tastes so good. Joining me now, Dr. D'Alessio Parson. Okay, doctor. Why is eating meat bad, really?
Well, we have to back up, because you, I think at the beginning, just said eating meat creates toxic masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
The toxic masculinity is already there.
It's already there. Does eating meat make toxic masculinity worse?
It's one of the ways in which it can reinforce existing kind of social structures, including patriarchy.
Well, how does that reinforce social structures that where men dominate eating meat?
Yeah, it's really complicated.
We'll break it down for a...
How about this, though? You said we had 4 or 5 minutes, right?
Just keep it simple. How does eating meat make the genders unequal?
Eating meat holds a lot of symbolism, and it really is too much to explain in 4 minutes. But it has to do with the fact that our individual level decisions, the things we decide to do as individuals, what we consume, what we put on our bodies, the things we buy and put in our households, mm-hmm. are fundamentally political acts.
Okay.
Right? The personal is political.
Okay. So I'm having a steak right now because I'm
Perfect.
Starving.
I hear you. I wish I could have half of that, but this doesn't look vegan, and I'm trying to be vegan.
You're a vegan?
It's really hard because I don't know if I told you I'm from Wisconsin.
Okay.
And cheese was like one of my favorite things.
See, how that looks pretty good. That's a little rare, medium rare.
Yeah.
Is
That's
this
some nice dead animal, dead cow hanging on your fork.
Is this bad that I'm eating meat?
If you go hunting, that's a totally different story, right? The blood's on your hands. Right now, you're kind of just enjoying the benefit, and the blood's on someone else's hands, and that's not very fair.
What if they want to hunt meat, or what if they want to raise cattle?
Oh, totally, but the idea of killing and taking a life, that we should really deeply consider what that means for us as human beings. You know, people have said you should judge a society by how it treats their animals. And we, you know, it'd be great if we had universal health care for our animals.
Universal health care for animals, that could be expensive.
We can afford it. Look.
Really? Because we're $20 trillion in debt.
I got some money. I got
Do you care
mug.
More about people or animals?
I care about our world. And I think in order for us to achieve a more sustainable future, particularly regarding what's happening with climate change, we need to figure out how the 7.6 billion of us on this planet can be good neighbors. And we're really bad at being good neighbors right now.
Okay, so like, why should I be a good neighbor to a squirrel?
Well, you don't have to worry about, if you don't want to worry too much about the squirrel right now, the squirrel's part of nature, right? If you keep killing nature, what's going to happen to us, right? If we as people keep killing nature. Me too, right? Like, I still eat cheese a lot. It's not like something that's going to be perfect. We're never going to be perfect at it.
But what if you're just hungry and the animals are there for us to enjoy for dinner, for lunch,
God
for
says
breakfast?
So. Did God tell you that?
Well, I mean, why would they taste so good if we weren't supposed to eat them?
Sugar tastes good.
Yeah, I eat sugar too.
Obesity, diabetes.
Well, I mean, I have some sugar, but
I mean, you clearly have a lot.
I don't just pour sugar down my throat.
You clearly have some things around like who you are that protect you and like especially a lot of, I think, financial resources to like do things like buy really expensive steaks.
Okay.
So that's also part of the problem is that some people are really taking up more than their fair share of, you know,
so plate. The rich people are stealing all the steak from the poor people.
Surplus value.
Okay, well, you know what?
I got a book for you.
I'm going to go take this steak, and I'm going to go give it to a homeless guy out on 6th Avenue.
Go for it. And I'm gonna, you were saying you needed books
doctor,
for Christmas.
Thank you very much. I will take your book, and I will take a bite of the steak.
And this is the book I'm reading.
And it's delicious.
Holy shit. Sorry for the big break. I hope the audio came in. I don't know what to say. I'm like, this girl is just out there fucking flapping. Very inconsistent. She was getting flustered. You watch the video, you'll see for yourself, but I'm like, universal healthcare for animals. Are you? I can't make this shit up. And I don't know how this gentleman was able to keep a straight face. You got to look at the pop-ups that come up as she's trying to speak, as she's trying to get her point across, because it's just funny. It's absolutely freaking funny. Oh shit. Yeah. I saw one of the comments. And of course this is not new. I think the video is old. I'm trying to look at the date. I can't find the date, but somebody had reposted it. And one of the guys that follows this individual on YouTube, his comment was, I'm also a vegan. I just let the bull eat the grass for me, and then I eat the bull. I'm sorry. I just found this. I'm in a great mood today. I just find all this shit absolutely freaking funny. I don't. This girl has no clue. No clue whatsoever. She was ill-prepared for a 4 to 5 minute interview. And she even clearly said, well, I only have 4 to 5 minutes. And this is a very complicated process. I don't think you know what the hell you're talking about, what the hell that you're doing. I think you have little to no knowledge of the subject whatsoever. I think you're dazed and confused. Portland State University, not sure what type of university that is, what caliber of university it is. I'm not going to turn around and say it's a bad university, but I highly question your hiring of this individual as a professor in your sociology department. Because once again, she is just a little out there, I think. Really. Yeah. So finally, somebody who makes Ocasio-Cortez look like Stephen Hawking. Anyway, so I looked her up because I was watching this video, this interview on YouTube, and I'm wanting to know more. It's kind of like when somebody picks up something and drinks it or eats it and says, "Oh, this is bad. Here, taste it." It's kind of the same premise, right? It's like it's so bad you just kind of want to read more and know what's going on. Like people say about Howard Stern, if people don't like him, why do they listen to him? Because they want to hear what he has to say next, right? So anyway, Rate My Professors of Anne Delicio Parson, if I'm even pronouncing that last name correctly, and at this point in time, I don't care. So the most helpful high rating, the most helpful high rating says no quizzes, no exams, and no final. Just a lot of writing. Emphasize lot. Excuse me. Coffee. Oh man, this stuff is great. Anyway, 2 writing assignments per week, 1,500 words total. That's literally it, though. Can get a little annoying trying to push her personal politics into the material, but it's not that bad. Easy A or B if you keep up with the writing and don't miss class. Good and amp. Interesting professor. let's scroll down, shall we? So first rating, next rating, and this is Sociology 302. Evidently, there's different sociology. I guess she teaches different levels. I don't know. Anyway, attendance mandatory. This person's grade is A-. She is completely intellectually dishonest, unclear in her lectures. As we heard in the video, she just was not clear. Or excuse me, I saw in the video, you heard an audio, right? Obviously. Unclear in her lectures, presents her opinions as fact, rude. And then she all goes on to say lecture heavy. She got a quality rating of 1.0. Awful. attendance, not mandatory. This is Sociology 101. Grade B, worst professor on campus. Cares more about expressing her political viewpoints than educating her students. Should not be in a teaching role. Next one, Sociology 131. Awful. didn't list their grade. I took DLP's food justice. Oh, so D'Alessio Parson. Okay. Food justice. What is a food justice course? Can somebody explain to me what food justice is? Is it a fight for not slaughtering cows or killing chickens? Food. That is the first time I've food justice. Hold on. We got to do this. We're going to do this on the show. Hold on. What is food justice? If I can type. What is food justice? What is food justice and why does it matter? That is the first link. So we're going to click on this link. Okay. Why is it hard? Okay. Let's see. Okay. Why is it hard to define food justice? I've been speaking with students, candidates for our summer internship positions for over the past couple of weeks and have been talking about food justice. One question that I've asked every student I've spoken with is, if you were a fruit, what fruit would you be and why? The other question that I've asked each candidate is, what does food justice mean to you? And then a definition of food justice. Food justice is communities exercising their right to grow, sell, and eat healthy food. Interesting. Okay. Why does it matter? Defining food justice is only the beginning of a long conversation. I hope that we can begin to use food justice as a powerful strategy for achieving social justice. To me, a just food system is one of the ways we produce, distribute, and eat food is not affected by systematic inequality or oppression based on race, class, gender, ability, or anything else. I'm really going to have to read into this because there's somebody's trying to make a connection that I'm not quite understanding. I have an idea, but I'm not quite sure I'm on the right path. I just feel weird. That's just a weird thing. Anyway, so I took DLP's food justice course at Willamette and did not enjoy it. She used the same readings and assignments for all her classes with different topics. So even though it was supposed to be a food justice class, we mainly talked about general sociology topics instead. Oh, sociology. Okay, abbreviated. General sociology topics instead. Topics instead. She has bad time management and does not lead class well. Do not take this class. Somebody says it was awesome. The subject is interesting and is incredibly kind and thoughtful with broaching the topics of food inequalities, food deserts, and systematic racism. She wants you to succeed. You shouldn't be teaching. Enough said is the next one. I took ADP sociology course 2 terms in a row, the second term out of necessity. We had 2 papers due every week. These took research and thought. She is critical in her responses. The lectures were long and drawn out, a lot of group participation. She knows her stuff, but is self-righteous and question how she got her job to us. Beware. Okay. Not really interested in data, displays little to no intellectual curiosity, seems to think that smiling a lot and being polite will make her students like her. And I guess for most people it does. Wow, this is crazy. Let me go to another awesome read. Since we're talking negative, let's look at some of the awesome ones. I really enjoyed having her as a teacher for Sociology 301 and 302. If you're looking for an easy class, don't take this. You will have tons of reading and papers to turn in, but you learn so much. Definitely would take her again. She got a 4.0 rating on quality on that one, and a 4.0 rating on difficulty. The next awesome rating, Dr. Delicio Parson was a great professor for 302. Though she required a lot of reading and writing and expected a lot from students, I feel that I came out of this class a stronger writer, more educated in applying theory to the world, and with stronger reading skills as well. She was easy to communicate with and supportive our aspirations. Well, okay, so there was some silver lining in here, but I don't get it. Did she pay some of these students? Because some of these are well written, too well written for, I don't know. I hate to generalize, but anyway, yeah. So I looked at her as an Ocasio-Cortez, where she just really didn't have contextually the oomph, the power to support her logic and reasoning for the whole reason of eating meat and what it means, you know, male toxicity. Really? Come on. I mean, so let's turn this around. What does it mean for a woman to eat meat? Is it the same thing or is it different? I think that would have been one question as an interviewer that I would have asked. Well, what if you ate meat? I know you're a vegan feminist. She eats cheese. But I, how can you be from Wisconsin and not eat meat? Seriously, I just don't get it. But one last read. Let's read an awful one. Terrible professor and genuinely terrible human being. Classes, tedious group work, unrelated tangents, and her shilling for whatever goofy, flaky political cause she's into this week. Uses grades as leverage, and she will force you to beg for the grade you earned with a sadistic smirk on her face during the final face-to-face evaluation. Tough grader. Get ready to read. Holy crap. Yeah, this is, wow. Oh, God. Anyway, I think you get the drift. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Just some people, you know, I've always been of the mindset, and this is kind of good. This is going off topic a bit, but I've always been of the mindset that some people will latch on, people who cannot find acceptance, social acceptance in modern mainstream society, have a tendency to latch on to things to make them feel powerful, more accepted or feared in that manner. I mean, you look at the people who follow Jim Jones, David Koresh. You get people who join cults because they feel that they're pagan. They're latching on to something that will accept them socially because maybe they feel they're socially inadequate. So anybody that pays a level of attention to them or is on their level, and I may be totally far-fetched from this. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I didn't stay at a sociologist. I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. I just kind of feel as though that those that can't find acceptance latch on to strange things. And I think this professor has latched on to something strange and is tying different things together that just don't quite connect. The puzzle pieces don't fit. Stop trying to make them fit. I could be wrong. You know, I'm not very well versed on the subject. A lot of this I feel as though I am pulling out of my ass because I don't know. I don't know that I'm going to waste my time researching this. Maybe I will just kind of glean it over to try and get an understanding. I'd like to have understanding. I like to know where somebody's coming from. But I don't feel as though that when we go to communicate with people and we're trying to get a point across, conversations can get a little crazy because the biggest communication problem, and I didn't come up with this. I saw this online. The biggest communication problem is we don't listen to understand. We listen to reply. We're already formulating a response rather than absorbing the information that somebody is trying to get their point across. And maybe in this interview where the guy was acting a little bit like a prick, right? That because of the constant interruption, and I know he's trying to get an understanding too. That's just his way. I'm not totally dissing on him for that. I shouldn't say dissing, but I'm not saying, what am I trying to say? Okay, let's just use dissing. Fuck it. Right. So I'm not dissing him for that. That's just his personality. That's probably the way that he interviews. At the same time, he probably doesn't have an assumption, probably doesn't have an open mind about what's being discussed. So it makes it harder for this professor to talk about and get her point across when there's constant interruption, when you're already formulating a response questioning what your values or what your beliefs are and that you're trying to teach. I don't have a problem with people talking to me about what their beliefs are, as long as they're not trying to impose those beliefs and tell me that I am wrong. I'm not saying that my beliefs are right, neither should you. Okay? It's kind of like religion. I knew somebody who came back, and I think I talked about this in one of these episodes. I knew somebody who went to Saudi Arabia back during Desert Shield, Desert Storm, and they went there. They deployed back in the 90s, and she was not anything. She came back, and she was going to marry a Saudi national. She kicked, fought, scratched, and screamed to marry this guy. Had no idea about the religion, had no idea really about the culture. She just said, excuse me, I was about to burp. I'm sure you heard that. She marries this guy. Now, all of a sudden, she is an expert on the Muslim faith. And this might be completely apples and oranges, I think, but I believe there is some correlation there where now you're back and you're telling me that my religion is wrong, that her religion is the only true religion. She literally said that and was trying to impose that I should change my religious beliefs to basically accommodate her, you know, not to accommodate. I should basically just change my religious beliefs because I'm wrong. And I'm just like unbelievable. So we're all in a learning phase. We're lifelong learners and we should learn from one another. We should be able to listen openly. And while yes, I see your point, I can still disagree with you. I am not going to lose any respect for you as a person. However, don't impose those on me because I'm not going to impose things on you, right? So again, the biggest communication problem is we don't listen to understand, we listen to reply. Yeah, I think that's where we're at. Anyway, that's where we're at. What was that last comment? What was that? That was a totally pull out my ass, totally lost train of thought, didn't have any idea was what I was about to say, so I just filled airspace. I apologize. What can I say? I'm in a great mood. I'm winging it just a little bit. Yeah. Great. Anyway, let's move on to our next thing. Let's talk about, now I don't want to get into this too much, because I really want to save this for when we have Fred and Chanel from Iron Bean Coffee Company. They are Iron Bean Coffee Company. Let's just put it that way. I love this Raging Tiger. So I'm trying to remember how far back I found Iron Bean and started trying their coffees. But I know it's been a couple of years, more than a couple of years. I've missed both Raging Tiger. I believe this is the third release. I've missed the previous two because they sell quick. They really, really do. I can't remember. So we had 303. I think the two bottles said 100 whatever out of 303 total. They did have some backups that were released and they came and went just as fast. Now, so you're probably asking, what use is it for me to listen to you talk about this particular coffee if I can't get it? Well, keep that in the back of your mind, mark your calendar, remind yourself, or I will remind you. Or you just do this, just go to Iron Bean Coffee Company, sign up, create an account. You'll get a newsletter. You'll never miss a release. That's the best way to do it. And I don't know if they have any other releases or special releases or limited edition releases. I know Raging Tiger is the big one. The Tanzanian Peaberry, I believe, is also a limited release. Fred and Chanel, correct me if I'm wrong. But if they have anything like that, if you subscribe to their site, you will get emails providing you inside information on things that are coming up, whether it's stoneware, because they come up with some really cool mug designs over the course of the years. And of course, limited releases of coffee. So, you know, as soon as it's released, they're going to let you know ahead of time. Follow them on Facebook, follow them on Instagram. They're very up on social, and they will broadcast to the masses, hey, we got this coming. So while you may not be able to get it now, I will tell you it is worth every cent spent on buying this bottle. And oh yes, the contents is under pressure. And oh, by the way, when you initially open it, it pops. Coffee beans went all over my countertop. That's how much pressure was in that bottle. But even after I recapped it and you open it again, it popped a little, nothing launched out, but it did still retain a level of pressure, once I recapped it. But yeah, just, it's really great. Let's talk about this. Okay. So let me gear down. Let me try to calm down here and let me tell you how I made this. So both bottles came in. I am almost down to less than a quarter of the first bottle. I may not open the second. However, this coffee is so good. I mean, I may be like, fuck it. I'm going to make some more anyway, and I'll kill both bottles. It is that good. This, I believe. So let me talk about this. And I'm not saying that this person is a competitor or this other company is a competitor, but I clearly believe that the coffee beans placed that are bourbon infused, placed in a glass bottle, tastes better than placed in a bag. I'm just putting that out there. I noticed the difference. While coming out of a bag, it smells great and it does taste good. There is something about the infused coffee beans in a glass bottle that tastes better. It's for me. Now, my taste buds are different than everybody else's. Got it. Each individual is different, but for me, it is a lot smoother. It's not overpowering, not to say that the other coffees I'm saying are overpowering. It just blends well. It's so smooth. The smell is not pungent. It's very, very nice. Hell, I ground some. So let me go back. And I know I'm going all over the place with this. I sound like that professor now, just not getting my point across. I ground some Wednesday night because I had to be at work Thursday morning. I ground some Wednesday night. I put it in the fridge to get it ready. So I had it all going. So I didn't have the grinder going in the morning and wake the dogs up and have them go nuts. So I did all that ahead of time. I opened the refrigerator the next morning and all I smelled was bourbon infused coffee. That's how powerful this stuff was. And yes, it'd been sitting there overnight, but the smell was so great. The smell coming out of my coffee mug right now is absolutely awesome. The flavor is so smooth and you don't have to add sugar. You don't have to add anything to this coffee whatsoever. As a matter of fact, I don't add anything to any of my coffees, but I will tell you, you do not have to add anything to any of these coffees from Iron Bean that I've tried so far. It might be your preference to, but I think personally, just me, I feel as though you lose a lot of what the coffee was meant to be and how it's meant to be in its original state. The flavors that are there, the flavors are there for a reason. You can enhance them. Great. That's your forte. But I'll tell you, especially with this 3.0, you don't have to. It is absolutely phenomenal. Now, going back to how I made this. So I use triple filtered water. I am completely anal about water. To me, water is not only the essence of life, but it's the essence of how I make my coffee. I made this in a siphon filter, I made this in a Chemex, and I made this in a French press. And this morning, I was thinking to myself, what's the difference between the three? And honestly, there really is little to no difference but utilizing each one of those methods. The difference between a siphon filter and Chemex is siphon. You could either use a metal filter, or you can use a like cheesecloth-like filter. It's not a paper filter. It's a cheesecloth-like filter, right? Can that alter the taste? Absolutely. Are there particulates in the cheesecloth? Absolutely. Does the metal filter change the taste? Absolutely. It could, the taste could be stronger coming through a metal because there's nothing filtering out any excess. There's also no particulates, right? Same thing with Chemex, where whether you're using a brown paper filter or you're using a white paper filter, it doesn't matter. You have particulates in the filter paper. There is a barrier between the coffee and how it's being brewed and dripping into the Chemex brewer itself. Again, not really too much of a difference other than the filtration technique. And then, of course, with the French press, you don't have a filter. You're pouring hot water directly on the coffee grinds. You're mixing it, and then you're pressing it, and then you're pouring it, right? There is no mechanical interface in any of those processes. But each one of those I prefer over a Keurig and over any sort of mechanical brewer or even coffee maker. Now, I have a Breville, which for all intents and purposes, some people describe Breville and the appliances that they make as the Cadillac of whatever. So I have the Cadillac of coffee makers. I love the coffee that comes after that. However, comes out of it. But it's not my preference. My preferences are either siphon, Chemex, or French press. I will just say it's a lot better. It's a lot flavorful. Now, I triple filter my water. The refrigerator I have, newer refrigerator, has an inline filter that comes filtered out of the refrigerator. Take the water out of the refrigerator, pour it into a Brita filter, and have that filter. Take it right back out, pour it right back in, refilter it again, because to me, again, water is the essence of life. Water is the essence of coffee making. The better, clearer, more filtered water, to me, again, the coffee tastes better. I just like coffee. I like making it certain ways. And I'm not going to go into all those ways here. I think I'll wait until we talk to Fred and Chanel and talk about those things. K-cups. K-cups are good, but they're great for, hey, I got to get my coffee and I'm on the go, I'm out the door because we don't have time to run the coffee maker. Or maybe we forgot to get the coffee maker prepared for the next day, whatever. I get that. But for me, unless you're using a filter vice the plastic cup, sometimes you're getting the flavor of the plastic tub in the coffee. And I don't necessarily always like that. There are some coffee companies out there that make this mesh filter, that works rather well, and they're biodegradable, and they're awesome, and they actually taste better than plastic tubs. It just depends on how the filter is placed in the tub, I think, because in some cases, depending on who I order tubs from, I don't taste the plastic, but in others, I do. I also believe that there's, in some Keurigs, there's also, I believe some, I know this because I do it on mine, there is a temperature setting. So if you max it out at, say, 192, you're probably going to taste more of the cup than you are the coffee. Dial it down a little bit. Clean your coffee maker out. Run some freaking descaling through there and flush it. Clean out your reservoir because that will also affect the taste of the coffee in the Keurig. Not to get off topic from Raging Tiger, but I'm going off on a tangent, but it's all coffee related. So who gives a shit, right? So yeah, these are the kind of things I do. And I do a little bit more. Again, I won't get into detail here, but Raging Tiger 3.0, I give it a 5 coffee beans out of 5+. That, or actually I say 5+ because it is awesome. It is great. I absolutely love it. I highly recommend it. Iron Bean Coffee Company. You can find them on Facebook, find them on Instagram, and you can find them online at www.ironbeancoffeecompany.com. Another thing I'm going to do, I'm going to readjust the website. It may not happen this month. I gotta mess around with the settings. I'm going to see if I could provide links on the page where you could go directly to. You can look it up yourself, but if you happen to be on the page and you want to, and you happen to be there and you have it open, you could do a quick link and go to their website and check up on their stuff. So I'm planning on any of the coffees that I reviewed, any of the coffees I've tasted, I will put the web link to those coffee companies on the website and go from there. This way you could see what I've done, what I've reviewed without having to go to each episode to try and search. I will put them in their own separate column or separate link, find some way to do it. Hopefully the design of the webpage will allow me to do it. I can add it in there and and make it a little bit better, more accessible. And see where we can go. But anyway, so yes, going to work with Fred and Chanel on a date to record episode 21. and have a lot of coffee talk, bullshit a little bit, talk about a few things. This will be the opportunity for you to get to know a little bit more about Fred and Chanel and how Iron Coffee Company came to be, how they got their start. I know they've posted a few things on their blog about it, but this is a chance to have an interview, an open opportunity to talk about the people that are Iron Bean Coffee Company. Fred and Chanel, again, you both are awesome. With that, I am going to, I think this is a good place to stop. I think this is a good place to close out the show. I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for being here. This has been fun. I just hope I didn't turn you all off. My God. Again, I apologize. I do not know where this is coming from, but I just think this is absolutely flipping awesome. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and stop right here. And as we always say, shit, sorry, coffee. I'm not going to edit out these giggles, guys. I can't do it. Hold on. Anyway, okay. Where were we? No, No Syntax is a production of Caffeine Driven Media. Music is by Rim Sky Music and can be found at www.premiumbeat.com. Sound editing is by auphonic.com. That's www.auphonic.com. Background music can be found at melodyloops.com. That's www.melodyloops.com. If you have any comments about today's or previous episodes, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at nosyntaxpodcast. That's all one word. nosyntaxpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can post your comments on our website at www.nosyntax.net. You can also follow me on Twitter. I'm really bad at tweeting. I got to get better at it. But you can follow me on Twitter at nosyntaxpodcast or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/no-syntax. Don't forget, we are on iTunes. Please subscribe and leave us a review. Good, bad, or indifferent, it doesn't matter. We will still love you. You could also find us on iHeartRadio if iTunes is not your forte. You find us on iHeartRadio, just do a Google search, nosyntax.net. We're here, there, not quite everywhere yet. Hope to be soon. Anyway, I'm getting stupid. There's no bourbon in my coffee, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you all soon. Happy New Year. Have a great work week next week. Don't make it too hard on yourself. Pace yourself, ladies and gentlemen. It's a new year. Take care. Walk the